What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Attention to Detail, the podcast. So I'll get right into this one. I'm definitely going to ramble a little bit, at least on this one today, but I'm going to try to keep it as short, as efficient as possible. But I want to talk about game shots, right? So every offseason you hear it, we should only be working on the shots that we'll shoot in a game. One dribble pull-ups, spot-up jumpers, simple jab step and go into a pull-up or into a layup. Keep it simple. Only shoot the shots that you'll shoot in a game. On the surface, this is a really good mindset. Let's really lock in on the shots that we will shoot in a game. Get really good at these. And from there, that should transfer perfectly to the game because we're getting good at what we do in the game. So that makes sense. I 100% understand where everyone's coming from with this, especially kind of in an old school sense. You hear a lot of older coaches saying this. But that every time I hear that, I start to question, like, what is a game shot? Okay, so it's the same shot that we typically shoot in a game. I get that. I really do. But if you're in an empty gym or with a trainer, can this really be a game shot? Is there a defender trying to send your ball into the fifth row? Are you moving at the same speed that you would in a game? Is there anxiety and pressure that you would feel in a competition? I doubt that these things are present, and the list goes on with these. All of these factors that are present in the game are not present as we're shooting this shot. So these may be bare bones, the same shot. There's still a one dribble pull up. There's still a 3-point or corner three. But in no way are they at the same level of complexity as the shots that we shoot in game. Nowhere near it. So we have to find some way to challenge it, or we end up training at a level lower than our competition demands. So hopefully that makes sense, but I'll get back to that. Because first, even in a less scientific sense, before I get into all the rambling about how training more complex can help you with the simple, we just don't know what shots we'll take in a game. And this is an argument for another time, but let's say we're trying to get into a one dribble pull up. It's a simple shot. We've repped it out perfectly thousands of times. But a defender comes out of nowhere to the right of us and tries to block it, tries to send it into that fifth row. Yet we've never worked on slightly fading, because when would we ever do that in a game? Exactly. Hopefully you see my point on that. We never know what shot, what style we're going to shoot the shot with. I mean, even if the shot clock is at 3, you catch the ball and you have to shoot a tough fading step back with a hard contest. Like, honestly, if we're being real, if you've only worked on the simplest quote-unquote game shots, that shit's probably going to airball. I'm just being real here. Like, if you've only worked on one dribble pull-ups, corner threes, simple shots, you get put in a situation where you have to make a tough shot, you haven't been exposed to enough variability to actually have a chance of making that shot. So that, again, that's an argument for another time. If or if not, we should only work on the shots that get, you know, 80% of our shot attempts. But there's even more to this, right? In simplest terms, we have to find ways to challenge us. Again, no shot in a workout is going to be a game shot because it's inherently not in a game. So we have to find some way in workouts to push our limits. And I think this is the reason why many players plateau, especially shooting wise and even just overall their game plateaus, because we work so relentlessly at perfecting this ideal model that this motor pattern, let's say a one dribble pull up, becomes too stable. So in other words, we don't challenge a skill enough. We don't challenge that pull up enough. We end up just training the basic picture perfect reps. So we can only use that perfect model. So when that defender does come out of nowhere and tries to block our pull up, we're so locked into that perfect model, that perfect straight up and down rep that you're going to get every time in training, that we can't fade, or we can't adjust the way our release point or a ton of other variables that we would be able to if we trained with a little bit more complexity. So when we challenge a pull up with an exaggeration like a fade, Like, for example, I'll tell players to jump from the middle of the free throw line and they have to land outside the elbow, right? So they're fading as they shoot it. Or I'll tell a player to, I'll put them in a situation where they're facing almost away from the bucket and they have to rotate pretty much 180 degrees in midair to knock a shot down. Are these game shots? Probably not. But despite it not being a quote-unquote game shot, it's actually making that shot that we'll shoot in the game easier for us. So I'll put it this way. There are so many ways that we can solve a problem on the court. So many ways we can shoot a jumper or do a move or execute a finish to solve the same problem. Now, we're going to need all of these different models because every play is different. Every play is like an individual snowflake, right? Even if we're shooting a wide open shot, there's going to be some variable that's different. How fatigued we are, where the rest of the defense is, you know, how many people are in the crowd. There's always going to be something different. You're at a different angle, right? It's also variable in games. And the best athletes have what we call the most functional movement variability. So this sounds really, really, really complicated, but it's not. And there have been studies done with experts and novices. And basically what this means is that experts can switch their technique around more. So they can fade more. They can change their release point more. They can jump higher, jump lower, and they can still get the job done. Whereas novices have to essentially follow that same perfect model every time. So functional movement variability basically means we can change our technique and still get it done, right? So by only training the absolute basics, that perfect technique, that game shot, we only train that perfect movement pattern, and that's where you start to see us almost training to become like those novices in those studies, right? We're training to be only good at that perfect model. So we get really robotic, we lose our ability to adjust, to shoot with different techniques. Like if you look at even Steph Curry, not all of his shots look the same. Even a player like Klay Thompson, who it looks like every shot is perfectly the same. His form is extremely consistent. At the same time, watch his footwork, right? It's always going to be slightly different. Watch where his weight is as he jumps into a shot. It's always going to be slightly different. Again, these things are masked behind a very, very technically sound jump shot form, but there's always going to be something different, and experts are able to get the job done, make shots, make finishes, whatever the skill is, with different techniques. So let's take, you know, a finish, for example, a simple two-foot finish that we'll do in game, right? We rep this out a bunch of times. This is a game shot. We make most of them. We miss a few, but we make most of them, and we get really good at this perfect model. Now, let's say you come in to a game and you have to jump from a few inches further or closer than you've repped out in your perfect finish in your workouts. So let's say your angle is a bit different, right? Let's say you're coming in with a higher speed. Let's say there's defense now stepping across the lane trying to block it. Well, this simple finish that was a quote-unquote game finish in the workouts, fundamentally sound, there's no way you're prepared for all of this, right? You're not going to be able to adjust to these new angles. You're not going to be able to adjust to defense stepping over. And we need to get really good at adjusting. We need to get good at adjusting, at finding new solutions for similar problems, right? I talk about this all the time, but most of the plays you see, especially on highlight tapes, but even just the average play in the NBA, players haven't worked on exactly that, right? They're always somehow adjusting. They may have done it a few times before in their workouts, but it's not like they're really repping every single thing out until they get good at that and they only use those in games. The highest level players are really good at adjusting, finding new solutions, pulling new moves out of the bag that they've never done. And we can't do this by only working on the simplest picture-perfect repetitions, right? If we're only shooting one dribble pull-ups, if we're only doing simple dribble moves, if we're only working on simple finishes, once we get in the game, we're going to have no creativity. And I think this is also just the embodiment of making practice harder than the game, right? You have old school coaches running their players into the ground because they want it to be more difficult than the game from a metabolic or conditioning sense, right? You hear this all the time, like old school coaches. You got to train at a level higher than the game, so we're just going to run your ass into the ground. But with that same logic, we're shooting shots slightly out of our comfort zone to make training a bit harder than the game, so the game becomes a little bit easier. And when you do that, you get attacked on social media because it's quote unquote not something you'll do in a game, right? So you can't train at a level below the game and expect that to transfer really well to the game. And this comes back to me to what I call, or what a lot of literature has called, the optimal zone of improvement. So if we get to a point where we're making 8 out of 10 pull-ups or corner threes or doing a dribble move perfectly 9 out of 10 times, we've got to find ways to add complexity and variability and difficulty. If we're only failing 2 out of 10 reps, we're not getting better. Plain and simple. I believe the recommendation by Daniel Coyle, who wrote Talent Code and a bunch of other really good books, is about 70% is about the, I could be wrong on that, but I think it's 70% is the sweet spot. So if we succeed 70% of the time, but we are, you know, still kind of working for those last 30% of reps, that's exactly what we want, right? And then this is different because you inherently cannot make 10 out of 10 in-game jumpers, or it's tougher to make jump shots. Anyways, point being, when we get to a higher rate of success, we don't need to devote much attention. It becomes automatic, right? If you're shooting 10 corner threes and you make 8 or 9 of those, you just start going through the motions. It's just naturally what happens. You don't have anything to focus on because you're already good at it. It's like driving. There's no reason for us to be sitting there thinking about every lane switch we do, or every time we turn on the blinker, or every little millisecond we're just locked into the road, because we're so good at it. We've done so many road trips and we've been on the road so long that it's just automatic now. But you're not going to get better at this. This is another analogy I use, is like doing the dishes or folding the laundry. You've been doing this for years and years at the same speed. The same speed. You've gotten so many reps with, you know, putting water in a cup and putting in the dishwasher or folding a towel. You've gotten so many reps with that, but you've never gotten faster at it. It's because you don't think about it. You don't devote attention to it. There's no need to. Same thing with jumpers or with any skill on the court. If we're already good at something, which most of these game shots are, why would we be shooting shots that we're not good at in game? Chances are we're not going to get better at it because in workouts, we're just going through the motions. One dribble pull up, corner three, simple shots. I don't know. The list goes on of these basic shots. And again, these are all really good shots, but if we only focus on these, we're not being challenged because we're already good at them. We don't devote attention to it. Now, if you're implementing the games approach or small-sided games, which is basically just adding defense into everything, this is one way that you can stick to these limits more because the defense just adds in an inherent challenge. So let's say you know, and this is something I do with a lot of my players. I still work on these very basic shots. I still focus heavily on one dribble pull-ups, simple finishes, and catch and shoot threes. But I'll do it in a way where a defender is sprinting at them, or they have to make 5 in a row, or especially with small-sided games, like keeping it simple where they have to read a closeout and get into a one dribble pull-up either way. But now there's defense. It's a little bit more like it is in a game because there is defense. So you can stick to these limits. But if you're by yourself or you're training against air, you're going to have to find some way to challenge you. You can't shoot these picture perfect shots every time just because they're quote unquote game shots which are actually, like I mentioned earlier, below the level of what you'd be doing in a game. So don't be afraid to isolate and train qualities with shots that you may not shoot in a game. If you need to work on your balance as you get into shots, don't just shoot monotonous one dribble pull-ups. It's not a challenge. Feel free to shoot some weird shots that challenge your balance, right? It's okay to over-exaggerate skills, because once we get good at the over-exaggeration, once we make the weird stuff feel comfortable, everything else becomes a little bit easier. And again, we need that challenge. We need to find some way to challenge ourselves. And if we're playing against air, especially working out by ourselves, or if you're a trainer and you're training a player in an individual session without defense, you've got to find some way to challenge these skills and not just rep them out monotonously with no defense, with no demands that would be in the game. Not to mention, it's boring as hell if you do the same stuff every workout and limit yourself to the five most common things you do in a game. And I can get into the research on the drawbacks of monotonous training. Overtraining becomes so much more, it comes so much quicker. You simply don't improve as much because your attention is not there. So having fun and challenging yourself and pushing your limits in workouts is key, not only from a motor learning standpoint, but also from preventing overtraining and staying engaged and continuing to build this intrinsic motivation that wants to keep you coming back to the gym. I would much rather have a player who may be shooting some shots that's, they may not shoot in a game, but they keep coming back to the gym because they're interested in that, than a player who gets up every morning and is like, shit, I don't want to go to the gym because I'm going to shoot this same damn one dribble pull-up that I've done for the last 3 years in my workout. So continue to open up new possibilities, keep expanding, master the fundamentals. Please master the fundamentals. I'm not saying don't do this, but also be okay with expanding out. At the end of the day, we don't want to stay boxed into where we are now. The whole point of working out, the whole point of training, is to get to a level that we're not at yet. So we have to do things that aren't at our current level. To me, this makes sense. Hopefully to you guys, you're at least getting my drift. Again, I don't want to be too far on the radical end of the spectrum. It's like, just do weird shit in your training. I promise you that's not what I'm saying. I'll post some drills to explain this a little bit better, to portray this a little bit better. Because right now you guys are probably just thinking, I'm saying go do a bunch of clown drills. I promise you I'm not. It's very simple stuff that slightly challenges you. You may see it and it's like, all right, that's not something that we're doing in a game, but it's also pretty easy to understand why it helps. So continue to push these limits, continue to find ways to challenge yourself. Otherwise, you'll stay in that same place forever. And we do not want this, especially putting hours and hours and hours in of training. So let me know what you guys think. May have sounded crazy, I don't know. Hopefully I explained it well enough. But appreciate you guys for tuning in. Stay tuned on my Instagram and YouTube for drills that will demonstrate this, and continue to push your limits. Thanks for tuning in. I've been stuck in the middle. I've been stuck in the middle. Cause you meet me in the middle.